portion of scripture from the Amplified. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. Affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord. Are you grateful for what he's done for you? And all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. See, he has a lot of benefits. There's benefits for following the Lord, for being a child of God, who forgives everyone. Say, that's me. Of all my iniquity, who heals each one of us. Well, he heals me from all your diseases. I've had times when people have come up for healing and they've got like five things going on and they want to just pick the most important one to them. And I said, no, that's God's best is you be rid of all of them. I said, so you need the package plan. And said, we're having a deal tonight on the package plan or this morning. And, you know, kind of gets them to chuckle and see, oh, yeah, why not just receive it all? Jesus paid for it all. Why not receive it all? Because he did it all. He redeems our life from destruction. There's not a thing that enemy can throw your way that he hasn't redeemed you from. It says, from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you. I mean, that's royalty there. We need to see ourselves as royalty with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. See, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. Your personal situation, God's already got it covered. With so much good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I underline that in my Bible, with good. With good, because he's a good, good God. Verse 6, he says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. If you find yourself oppressed, don't stay there. Don't stay there. God's already paid the price for that. Jesus said in this life you'll have tribulation. And that word tribulation, it means the cares of life. It means pressure. Pressure that comes at you. That's tribulation. A lot of times these things will come at you through people. But Jesus said, don't fear. I've overcome the world. You're going to cruise right through it. Because if you're in me, then I've got the way for you. I've got the answers for you. I'm going to lead you into victory, into triumph. So you need to see yourself victorious. We already talked about that Sunday, about seeing yourself the way God sees you, because that's important. If you see yourself any other way, you're living below your potential. You're living way below what God's got for you. He's got the best for you. You should pull up to the table and see God has presented the best for you. He's not giving you, you know, old stuff that's not good. He's not withholding anything. He's presenting everything to you. And he's presenting everything good to you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I had a few other scriptures that I wanted to just look at tonight. Yeah, turn back to Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. You know, that was one that we memorized growing up. And I was so proud when I memorized it. But, you know, when I memorized it as a young fellow, I don't think I knew very much about what it really meant. But you know, this 23rd Psalm, you know, it's in the Old Testament. But you know, verse 1 tells you whether or not it belongs to you or not. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's your shepherd, then this belongs to you. If he's not, then it doesn't. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. And that saying to feed doesn't mean to just give us food for our stomachs. It's talking about he feeds us spiritually as well. I shall not lack, or I shall not want. That means your needs are met. So that's provision. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you see, people can make him their Savior, but is he your Lord and your Savior? Making him your Lord is different. Making him your Lord is when he calls the shots, when you submit unto him, which means you submit unto his word, and you'll do what his word says. And so, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, not old brown, wore out pastures, the green pastures. There's a saying that goes around, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, we're on the other side. We're always on the other side. So the grass is always greener where we are. That's where we need to feed. It isn't greener over there. It's greener right where we are. He leads me beside still waters. Not raging rivers that, you know, get you, you know, you're right next to a raging river and, you know, fear could come or whatever because what if I fall in? But he leads us beside still waters. That's the peace of God. That's where the peace of God is. Where the still waters are, that's where you can hear his voice. That's where there's peace. There's no turmoil there. That's where he leads you. So if you've got turmoil in your life, then seek him and find out where he's leading you. He's not leading you into the turmoil. He restores my soul. So if my soul is anxious and I have anxiety and I don't have any peace, it says he restores it. The Lord restores it. But he's got to be your Lord. That's an intimate relationship. He restores my soul. He gives me peace. How many times, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but over and over, Jesus would say, I give you my peace. He said, it's expedient that I go away. And the Holy Spirit's coming. But then he said, I leave with you my peace. See, he didn't just leave and send the Holy Spirit. He left something about what he was here. He said, that must have been something big in order for him to separate it and say, I'm leaving you my peace. That's not just, you know, don't think of it as a little piece of a pie. No, he's leaving you one of his attributes. Because where Jesus walked, he brought peace to situations. He brought healing, which brought peace. He brought provision, which brought peace. A lot of anxiety at that wedding, and they ran out of wine. A lot of anxiety there. What are we going to do? The governor's here, you know? Jesus brought peace. He's been preaching to them, and they don't have any food. They're getting hungry. What does he do? He brings food. He manifests. He brings food, blesses that little fish dinner and brings supply. So he brought peace to that situation. He brought peace wherever he went. And to those that were looking and to those that were following him, remember in Mark 4 where he gave that parable and nobody understood the parable. The disciples didn't understand the parable. And there his men, you know. And it says that they came afterwards and found him. It says the disciples and the others that followed. See, not everybody followed. Not everybody that heard that. So they didn't put an importance on the lesson that Jesus was trying to get across to them. But the ones that pressed in and said, we want to know more. We want to know the revelation of what this means. They're the ones that got it. They're the ones that received what he really had for them. The parable, he even said, it's for everybody to hear, but only those that press in are going to know what it means. Remember in one of the, I don't know if it was Mark or in Luke, or even in Matthew's, where he said that, those are within and those are without. The ones within are the ones that were pressing in to know the meaning and the understanding. And he even said that seed that's sown on the wayside, it gets stolen away if you don't understand it. So understanding has to come. But you have to press in if you want understanding. You had to come around and inquire of Jesus. So we have to continue to inquire of the Lord. From his word even. His word is alive. and it will it has within it the instructions and the DNA, if you will, to produce whatever you need. But you have to press in and get it on the inside of the good ground of your heart if it's going to grow up in your life. Amen? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, when I learned that part, it's like, wow, that's hard. That's bad. No, it's not. It's just a shadow. He didn't take you into the valley of death. There was no death there. It's a shadow. How many know a shadow can't hurt you? So even though I walk and the shadow is there, it says, I will fear no evil. See, there's the peace of God again. Jesus had to repeatedly tell people, fear not. He had to tell Jairus that. When the report got worse, remember Jairus was pressing in and said, Lord, will you come to my house? And Jesus, he followed him. He didn't even really say. He followed him. He's going to his house to heal his daughter. And then the multitudes press in. Don't you know multitudes slow somebody down? But Jairus, he wanted him to get to his house quickly because his daughter is in need of help. And then the report comes. Oh, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. And that didn't move Jesus one iota. He said, fear not, keep on believing. So even when you think your finances are dead, fear not, keep on believing. Even when you think that your physical body is going to die, and the doctors have given you the reports, those are their reports. Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report will you believe? You've got to believe one or the other. You've got to either believe God or you believe man. I'm not saying that doctors aren't good, but when they give you the report, they can't do any more, then you have to turn from them because they're telling you they can't do any more. And so you need to believe the report of the Lord. Jesus said, fear not, believe only. So here he says, I will fear no evil. Well, you know, cancer is evil. I don't fear cancer. Any kind of disease and calamity, that we can't fear it. That's why sometimes people's problems, when they're very knowledgeable in things of the medical world, it can be cumbersome or can be a problem to them because their knowledge supersedes the knowledge they have of God's word. And it can get in the way. And it can elevate itself. And it's, oh, but the latest study. And you've memorized the latest study because you're a doctor or a nurse or something. And so you've got too much knowledge. Jesus would tell you to just throw the thing out. Fear not and keep on believing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that knowing that Jesus is with us all the time? That just gives us peace. No matter what you're facing, maybe you got a court appearance, you know, God's with you. Don't fear. Don't fear. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, everything we see in Psalm 23, these are things we need to be thankful for. Because he's laid out a life of peace, of protection, of provision, of everything that we need. He's laid it right out here. Makes you to lie down in green pastures. I mean, I picture vacation time, you know. Leads beside the still waters. You know, that's this time of year, that sounds really nice in a warm climate. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table. The table represents provision. Every kind of provision you need, he's got it on the table. Finances here, healing here, relationships here, business here. I mean, everything on and on and on for every area of our life. He has prepared a table, even in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil. There's royalty again. Anointing is the power of God. My cup runs over. Thank you, Lord. My cup runs over. It's not half full or half empty. It runs over. We got to get beyond the half. Is it half empty or half full? Oh, I'm a pessimist, half empty. I'm an optimist, half full. No. We're running over. Thank you, Lord. Overflow. We've got to expect it. We've got to expect it to overflow. That's why it's really so selfish to just believe for your needs to be met. That's selfish because you don't have enough to help someone else. You stop right at you. No, we need to have an abundance. Overflow is what goes out to help other people. My cup runs over. And yet the world would look at it and say, that's waste. Overflow is wasted. Oh, look at you, you're wasting. How about when the woman came and anointed Jesus with the oil and you know, some scholars and experts said that was like it said it was a year's wages. Well, what do you make in a year? I mean, that's all relative, but that's a lot of money to be pouring over Jesus, pouring on his feet, pouring on his head and his beard. Everybody looking on. Matter of fact, they did. He's wasting. She's wasting. No, you don't waste on the master. Do you know how much blessed she became by sacrificing that? She had to save up. Don't you know she thought about that all that time that it took her to save that up? She's thinking about it. She's meditating on it. Her heart was right. And Jesus took notice. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, that's good. Surely goodness. He's a good God. And he's a merciful God. And that's coming after me. That comes after me. It says it follows me. I don't have to track it down to get it. It's following me. It's tracking me. The goodness of God should be tracking you. Tracking you down. Here's a child of the King. I got to get to the child of the King. I've got to bless the child of the King. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. That's all your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. I will dwell. That's where I live. Isn't that how Psalm 91 starts? We're going to finish on that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And everything in here, this protection, this provision, salvation, deliverance, long life, because you've made the Lord, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall come near you. No plague shall come near you. You can stand on that only if you dwell. See, that's for the dwellers. You get to partake of the good if that's where you put yourself. So you see where we need to continually thank God. It reminds us, on Sunday I was exhorting people to go back to that last miracle you received. Go back to that last breakthrough that you got and begin to thank him. Begin to rehearse that. Why? Because that builds up hope in you. That if he did it once for me, he'll do it again. He'll pull through for me again. And so as we go along this journey called life, we start out, say, down here. But after you've had a few victories, you don't have to go all the way back to go, you know, or on that chutes and ladders game. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. I used to hate that game. You think you're going to win, then you hit that big slide that takes you all the way down. You got to start all over. It's not that way with God. We don't have to go all the way back and start all over. We can be restored right where we are. So even if you've missed it, you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. He restores you and you take over right where you were. That is awesome. That's worthy of thanking God for. See, that's the mercy of God. He's not looking to punish us and send us back to go or back to the beginning. No, he's desiring to pull us up, lift us up to where he is. He's at the top there. Amen? Well, praise God. I'm happy now. God is good.